Ekstrom turned to the judge. I want to make the court aware that the defendant has stated that she was subjected to sexual assaults on two occasions, the second of which should be considered exceptionally severe. The person she claims committed these rapes was her guardian, the late Niels Bjurman. The following facts should be taken into account at this juncture. Ekstrom consulted the papers in front of him. In the investigation carried out by the Violent Crimes Division, there was nothing in Advocate Bjurman's past to support the credibility of Lisbeth Salander's account. Bjurman was never convicted of any crime. He has never been reported to the police or been the subject of an investigation. He had previously been a guardian or trustee to several other young people, none of whom have claimed that they were subjected to any sort of attack. On the contrary, they assert that Bjurman invariably behaved correctly and kindly towards them. Ekstrom turned a page. It is also my duty to remind the court that Lisbeth Salander has been diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. This is a young woman with a documented violent tendency, who since her early teens has had serious problems in her interactions with society. She spent several years in a children's psychiatric institution and has been under guardianship since the age of 18. However regrettable this may be, there are reasons for it. Lisbeth Salander is a danger to herself and to those around her. It is my conviction that she does not need a prison sentence. She needs psychiatric care. He paused for effect. Discussing a young person's mental state is an innately disagreeable task. So much is an invasion of privacy, and her mental state becomes the subject of interpretation. In this case, however, we have Lisbeth Salander's own confused worldview on which to base our decision. It becomes manifestly clear in what she has termed her autobiography. Nowhere is her want of a foothold in reality as evident as it is here. In this instance, we need no witnesses or interpretations to invariably contradict one another. We have her own words. We can judge for ourselves the credibility of her assertions. His gaze fell on Salander. Their eyes met. She smiled. She looked malicious. Ekstrom frowned.
"Does Advocate Giannini have anything to say?"
Judge Everson said.
"No," Giannini said, "other than that Prosecutor Ekstrom's conclusions are nonsensical."
The afternoon session began with the cross-examining of witnesses. The first was Ulrike von Liebenstahl from the Guardianship Agency. Ekstrom had called her to the stand to establish whether complaints had ever been lodged against Advocate Bjurman. This was strongly denied by von Liebenstahl. Such assertions were defamatory.
"There exists a rigorous supervision of guardianship cases. Advocate Bjurman had been active on behalf of the Guardianship Agency for almost 20 years before he was so shockingly murdered."
She gave Salander a withering look, despite the fact that Salander was not accused of murder. It had already been established that Bjurman was murdered by Ronald Niedermann.
"In all these years there has not been a single complaint against Advocate Bjurman. He was a conscientious person who evidenced a deep commitment to his wards."
"So you don't think it's plausible that he would have subjected Lisbeth Salander to aggravated sexual assault?"
"I think that statement is ridiculous. We have monthly reports from Advocate Bjurman, and I personally met him on several occasions to go over the assignment."
"Advocate Giannini has presented a request that Lisbeth Salander's guardianship be rescinded, effective immediately."
"No one is happier than we who work at the agency when a guardianship can be rescinded. Unfortunately, we have a responsibility, which means that we have to follow the appropriate regulations. For the agency's part, we are required, in accordance with normal protocol, to see to it that Lisbeth Salander is declared fit by a psychiatric expert before there can be any talk of changes to her legal status."
"I understand."
"This means that she has to submit to a psychiatric examination, which, as everyone knows, she has refused to do."
The questioning of Ulrike von Liebenstahl lasted for about 40 minutes, during which time Bjurman's monthly reports were examined. Giannini asked only one question before Ulrike von Liebenstahl was dismissed.
"Were you in Advocate Bjurman's bedroom on the night of March 7th, 2003?
"Of course not."
"In other words, you haven't the faintest idea whether my client's statement is true or not?"
"The accusation against Advocate Bjurman is preposterous."
"That is your opinion. Can you give him an alibi, or in any other way document that he did not assault my client?"
"That's impossible, naturally. But the probability—"
"Thank you,"
That will be all, Giannini said.
Blomqvist met his sister at Milton's offices near Slusen at around 7 to go through the day's proceedings.
It was pretty much as expected, Giannini said. Ekström has bought Salander's autobiography.
Good. How's she holding up? Giannini laughed.
She's holding up very well, coming across as a complete psychopath. She's merely being herself.
Wonderful.
Today has mostly been about what happened at the cabin in Stallarholmen. Tomorrow it'll be about Gosseberger, interrogations of people from forensics and so forth. Ekström is going to try to prove that Salander went down there intending to murder her father.
Well,
but we may have a technical problem. This afternoon Ekström called Ulrika von Liebenstahl from the guardianship agency. She started going on about how I had no right to represent Lisbeth.
Why?
She says that Lisbeth is under guardianship and therefore isn't entitled to choose her own lawyer. So, technically, I may not be her lawyer if the guardianship agency hasn't rubber-stamped it.
And?
Judge Everson is going to decide tomorrow morning. I had a brief word with him after today's proceedings. I think he'll decide that I can continue to represent her. My point was that the agency has had 3 whole months to raise the objection. To show up with that kind of objection after proceedings have started is an unwarranted provocation.
Teleborian will testify on Friday, I gather. You have to be the one who cross-examines him.
On Thursday, Prosecutor Ekström explained to the court that after studying maps and photographs and listening to extensive technical conclusions about what had taken place in Gosseberger, he had determined that the evidence indicated that Salander had gone to her father's farmhouse in Gosseberger with the intention of killing him. The strongest link in the chain of evidence was that she had taken a weapon with her, a Polish P-83 Vanad. The fact that Alexander Zalachenko, according to Salander's account, or possibly the cop-killer Ronald Niedermann, according to testimony that Zalachenko had given before he was murdered at Salgrinska, had in turn attempted to kill Salander and bury her in a trench in woods nearby, could in no way be held in mitigation of the fact that she had tracked down her father to Gosseberger with the express intention of killing him. Moreover, she had all but succeeded in that objective when she struck him in the face with an axe. Ekström demanded that Salander be convicted of attempted murder or premeditation with the intent to kill, and, in that case, aggravated assault. Salander's own account stated that she had gone to Gosseberger to confront her father, to persuade him to confess to the murders of Dag Svensson and Mia Johansson. This statement was of dramatic significance in the matter of establishing intent. When Ekström had finished questioning the witness, Melka Hansen, from the technical unit of the Göteborg police, Advocate Giannini had asked some succinct questions.
Herr Hansen, is there anything at all in your investigation, or in all the technical documentation that you have compiled, which could in any way establish that Lisbeth Salander is lying about her intent regarding the visit to Gosseberger? Can you prove that she went there with the intention of murdering her father?
Hansen thought for a moment.
No,
he said at last.
Do you have anything to say about her intent?
No.
Prosecutor Ekström's conclusion, eloquent and extensive as it is therefore speculation?
I believe so.
Is there anything in the forensic evidence that contradicts Lisbeth Salander's statement that she took with her the Polish weapon, a P-83 Vanat, by chance simply because it was in her bag, and she didn't know what she should do with the weapon, having taken it the day before from Sonny Niemannen in Stallarholmen?
No.
Thank you, Giannini said, and sat down.
Those were her only words throughout Hansen's testimony, which had lasted 1 hour.